So much fun being a believer, you know. It's just such a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and such a joy of the Lord that we have, and a peace that passeth understanding. All right, we're going to turn to 185 and remain seated because we're passing this package around to you, and I want you to take one of each item. Take one of each item from the great Dr. John McTernan, one of my favorite prophecy preachers. I had the pleasure of meeting John McTernan and hearing him preach three times at the prophecy conference in Florida back in 2008, I believe it was 6 years ago. And what a blessing, what a humble man he is too. His father was a great Baptist preacher, and he followed in his steps. Boy, the Lord called him and doing a great work down there in New Jersey, as they say.
One, if they, you know, if they want to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we definitely want to give them out to folks. Praise the Lord for that. Well, folks, 185 says, the song says, love lifted me. Bob?
Great for New Jersey. I've got lots of open doors there. And I don't know
the church. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of Bible-believing churches down there. Yeah, they're scattered, but they're there. Yeah. It's funny because this morning, after the morning service, we're having potluck dinner together, and Bob was sitting across from me, and I said, have you ever been to Tabernacle Baptist Church in Peabody, Mass? Because he's from Massachusetts, like me, we were both born in Boston. And he said, it's funny you should ask me that, because I just went and preached and played volleyball at a school in Peabody, and I'm looking for an independent Baptist church contact for that town. And I said, well, that was... In Peabody, TBC was our original church when we got saved in 1986. And so I'm going to hook him up with Pastor Terry Baugh, great man of God. And there's an open door right there for him, too, so he can get into more schools in the Peabody area, Massachusetts. See, folks, this is a ministry that's needed everywhere. It's not just here. He lives in Plymouth, but it's not just here. It's needed everywhere. We need 10,000 Bob Holmes, and that wouldn't be enough. We need more and more guys that are willing to go into the schools and preach the gospel. And he's found a way that he can do it legally. I love it. And they can't tell him what to say. And they can't shut him up. Amen. I love it. Let's remain seated in 185. We're going to sing all three. Praise the Lord. Love lifted me. Amen. John 3:16 on the second.
Deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs.
Everybody!
John 3:16, when nothing else could help, John 3:16, when nothing else could help, John 3:16. Oh, nature, look above, Jesus completely says, he will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your savior, wants to be saved today.
Everybody!
Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Good singing tonight, church, as we welcome Brother Bob Holmes. Praise the Lord, brother. And the reason he's dressed as he is tonight, he called me this afternoon. He said, Pastor, he had a nice suit and tie this morning. He was real official. And he called me this afternoon. He said, Pastor, could I dress as I dress when I challenge folks to play volleyball? And I said, please do. It really will fit the night. Amen. So praise the Lord, Brother Bob, you come. Amen.
Close in the dark.
Amen.
You know what's really amazing is I've been watching you this morning and tonight, and I was trying to place you, and I have a guy in New Hampshire. Well, I'm in New Hampshire. That's a big deal. Yeah. But it's in my hometown, and he's my tax guy. And you are an identical twin brother. Oh. Same mannerism.
Accountant, eh?
Yeah, he's an accountant. And you, I got to get a photograph and send it to you. It is amazing how you look like him. All right, well, I'm so thankful tonight, and thank you for having me here. It is a miracle. I go in the schools during the daytime, and they're craving somebody to come in and give abstinence messages on sex before marriage and alcohol especially. And that's what we believe. The Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. I'm glad the Bible teaches abstinence, aren't you?
Amen.
And it says, look not upon the wine when it's red. So what it's saying is don't even look at grape juice when it turns into alcohol. And if you're not supposed to look at it, you're not supposed to drink it.
Right?
Correct. And so when they say come in with an abstinence message, that's what they're wanting because they're seeing all the kids dying. Yeah. Remember how many are attempting suicide? It's 300,000 a year now. Oh. So we've got to reach them. And I'm just amazed at how God gave me this idea now. Let's see, I started playing volleyball in 83, and I had no idea that God would lead me to 5,000 schools. It all started out wanting to get the gospel to people because the gospel's not just another good idea, it's the answer.
Mm.
And so little did I ever dream that I would be playing volleyball to help my back problem and then come up with the idea of doing assemblies and giving schools what they're looking for, something that's going to help those kids stay alive and not die. Mm. And we know when you go against the word, the sin leads to what, everybody?
Yeah.
Death, physically and spiritually. And so I never dreamed that God would give me the idea, but the Equal Access Law says the Supreme Court voted that a church can rent a public school gym and they can own it while they rent it. Now, think about this a minute. When you own that gym, nobody can say what you can and can't speak. So I thought, I'll do these assemblies during the day, and then I'll invite them all back to a pizza party and watch me take on the police and the fire. I've been handcuffed 4 times by 4 police departments.
Wow.
And they had to play like this. And the funniest thing, I beat them. And halfway through the game, I said, these are the guys that protect your community. I'm beating them with handcuffs. But I have so much fun with the audience. In the school assemblies, I'll play the varsity girls team, a boys team, a faculty team. When the teachers play me, I'll tell the school, if I beat the teachers, there's no homework. And the whole school starts cheering for me. And then when they start cheering, I'll say, the principal doesn't know why you're happy because you don't do your homework anyway. One teacher got in front of the class. She said, if there's any dumbbells here, please stand up. And one boy stood up. She said, are you a dumbbell? He said, no, but I hate to see you standing there all by yourself. So you meet all kinds of people out there, but I have a blast with them. And then I say, now, don't miss Thursday night when I give you the whole story and this free pizza, and I'm taking on the whoever we can get, you know, to come out. And then they come out. It's amazing. Anywhere from 500 to 2,000 in every meeting now for 18 years. And Pastor said he was going to help me get this known to the pastors in this country because I don't like to promote what I'm doing, but yet they don't understand it. You have to see it to understand it. And then you even still don't believe it. But I still don't believe I'm doing it, but thank God he's the one doing it. Go to Isaiah. I'm going to give you some more about it as we go into this mess. I'm so excited about this truth tonight. Look at Isaiah 45 and verse 16. Now, I'm going to put this here. I think it might actually pick up a little better, maybe. So Isaiah 45, verse 18, there's a tremendous truth here. Look at Isaiah 45, 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. Watch this statement. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Father, I thank you for this truth. God, we know you created this world on purpose. Mm. And Lord, if you created this world on purpose, we ought to live on purpose. So I pray that you'd help us to get the truth tonight that we're no accident. That you put us here for a purpose. Mm. And God, if you didn't create the world in vain, then we're here for a reason. And I pray that you'd help us to understand tonight that we were created on purpose and that we ought to go through our life on purpose. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, it says this, he created the world not in vain. In other words, he didn't have an empty reason for creating this world. Now, when Solomon said, it's all vain, it's all empty, there was no purpose in my life. When God decided to make this world, follow me close, and this is hard to comprehend because we cannot understand how God always was, is, and always will be. But we do know that he's an eternal God, right?
Amen.
He always was. Now think about this. Trillions and trillions of years ago, you were on his mind. The Bible says he knew you before the foundations of the earth. So when did life begin? Not just at the birth of a baby. Life began trillions and trillions in eternity past. Now, that's a long time ago. God even told Jeremiah, before you came out of the belly of your mother, I knew you, I ordained you, and I set you apart to be a prophet to the nations. Now, God knew Jeremiah before he was born. Now, this verse says that God isn't a haphazard God. In other words, he didn't just all of a sudden say, well, I think I'll make a world. He had the schematic all formed forever past. Now, this is going to get real exciting tonight. Pardon me if I get so excited. But how many believe the Bible is the most exciting book you've ever heard in your whole life?
Mm-hmm.
Now, watch this. Go to Colossians 1 and look at verse 16. If you don't have your scripture, just listen to this. But it is so incredible. God created this world on purpose. Mm-hmm. Now, he brings it out this way in Colossians 1:16. And it's speaking of our Savior. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Mm.
Can I ask you a question? How many believe you're part of all things? If you are part of everybody, right, then God created you on purpose. Watch this now. It says that you were created for God. Did you ever stop to think when you get up in the morning that you ought to get out of that bed and say this, I am put here for God.
Mm.
And once we get a hold of this truth, it'll change everything. Now, hang on to this. You are no accident.
I'm not.
You weren't just all of a sudden just, well, here he is. What's your name? He doesn't know. What's your name?
Tim.
Tim? Well, I guess I'll just throw Tim down here for a while. No. Tim was on God's mind gadrillion years ago, if that's such a word.
Before he invented Tylenol.
That's right. And then once you get to know him, you need Tylenol. Okay. Right? So, now, you are no accident. Now, if this is the case, let's get excited about life. In other words, scientists cannot explain at all what holds the atom together. The Bible says, by him all things consist. Look at verse 17. He, Jesus, is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Hmm.
Now, there's a lot of things that scientists don't understand, but you go back to God and you understand it all. Our God is in control. And if God be in control, we don't need to be out of control.
Hmm.
Now, here it comes. Don't miss this. We are created on purpose by a God who made the world not in vain.
And so if that's the case, and we are here on purpose, and everything is held together by Jesus Christ, then we can go through this life and know that everything happens on purpose for a reason. Now, this is amazing. There was a pilot in World War, I forget which World War it was, and he was trying to drop a bomb. He was a Christian man. And the more he tried to drop it, the more it wouldn't go. It just wouldn't release. And he tried everything, and then he found out later why that bomb did not drop. He was a praying man. And he was trying to release the bomb in World War. Years later, he found out there were missionaries doing missionary work right below where he was going to drop the bomb.
Wow.
Now, God knows it all. He knows absolutely everything. Now, turn to Psalm 139 and watch this. In Psalm 139... and verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, you were just a glob in the belly. But you were being formed as your mom ate peanut butter and pickles. And you were being formed in the belly of your mother. Isn't it amazing how God does this? Now, isn't it interesting in verse 17 and 18? Now, before we look at this, how many of you in this church believe everything God says?
None.
If God says it, it's true. Now, how many times do you think God has personally thought about you as an individual? God actually tells you how many times he's thought about you. Look at verse 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now, I haven't had math for a long time. But when you take the sum of something, you are taking the addition of something. How great is the addition of God's thoughts to us? In other words, he's going to count them in verse 18. And he's going to tell us the sum of how many times he thought about each of us. If I should count them, what's them referring to, everybody?
The thoughts
that he's had, the specific thoughts that he's had towards you, they are more in number than the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with thee. Let me do a word picture. Pick up a handful of sand and count every pebble. And see how long it takes with a handful of sand. But take all the sand on the earth and count every pebble. He's thought about you individually more than that. You say, how could he think that much about me? Because he knew you in eternity past. And he had a whole eternity to think about you. Now, I'm about to show you something that I hope will excite you like it did me. If he has thought about us this much, shouldn't we entrust our life to somebody that's thought about us so much more than we have ourselves? Now, if he's thought about us that much, I mean, you look at nature. And you look just at fish like salmon. They begin their lives in the fresh water of the Northwest. Not long after they're born, they begin a long swim downstream. Their destination is the ocean. It is here they spend the majority of their adult lives. They do something strange, though. Scientists don't understand how, but at some point, the adult salmon swim upstream back home. Though they have swum thousands of miles from the original river location, they head back home. And you've seen the nature programs where the salmon jump out of the water and the bears catch them. They stop the poor salmon from going home. Now, they face predators, and incredibly, though they've been gone for years, many of them determined salmon go back exactly to the location where they were born. On one television documentary, a determined salmon even swam through a maze of pipes and nudged open a grate to re-enter the hatchery where it was born. Oh, it all happened by a bunch of gases coming together. Here we are. That is the dumbest thing. In fact, it takes so much more faith to believe that than it does God. Amen? He has a plan for you. And one great scientist said, I'm an atheist, but I will admit this, there's an intelligence somewhere. There's law and order in the universe, and I'm beginning to believe the back of it is something. We don't know what it is, but something. Dwight Eisenhower said, it takes no brains to be an atheist. Any stupid person can deny the existence of a supernatural power because man's physical senses can't see God, but they cannot be ignored the mystery of the first life or the marvelous order in which the universe moves around us. All of this evidence is the handiwork of a creator, and for my part, that creator is the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The story is told of an atheist who said to a believer, I don't believe God exists. And the believer thought for a minute and said, well, I don't think God believes you exist either. And the atheist blurted out, what do you mean? He had to believe I exist. He created me. One lady, she was always praising God for what he did in her life. And she had an atheist neighbor. And God would bless her. Woo! She'd get excited, so the atheist would hear her. And he'd holler back, there's no God, and you know it. Well, one day, imagine this. One day, she was praying for groceries. And all of a sudden, she was begging God for groceries. The next morning, she woke up, 7 bags of groceries are on her front porch. She's ready to have a spell for the atheist. But she noticed out in the front was a bush moving. And she didn't know why it was moving. She found out later the atheist was hiding in a bush. And she was getting ready to have a spell. God didn't put those groceries on your porch. I put them there. And she said, woo! God not only provided groceries, but he made the devil pay for it. And she wanted the world to know how great her God was, especially the atheist. Think of this. If the average temperature of the earth was just 3 degrees warmer or 3 degrees cooler, life would be impossible on earth. Mm-hmm. The earth is tilted exactly at the right degree. If the earth were just 10% closer to the sun, we'd burn up 10% further, we'd freeze to death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it all happened by accident. There are over 100 million nerve endings in each eyeball, and the eye is capable of over 40,000 different positions. Know ye that the Lord is God, it is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So he says, fear not. Now, if God has even our hairs numbered, don't you think he can take care of everything? And I read this about hair, and I was amazed. On every human head, there's counted between 100,000 and 150,000 hairs. Even those that are bald have vellus variety hair, which is unseen by the human eyeball. So if you're bald, hold your head up tall and say, I got vellus variety hair. Right? Our eyebrows keep sweat out of the eyes, and eyelashes protect our eyelids when dust or tiny insects get close. And the tiny hair in the ears and in the nostrils filter incoming air particles and bugs and on and on. And even the hair in our armpit helps reduce friction while we walk. Can you believe this? Even that is there for a reason. What are you saying? God's in perfect control. And even to the very detail of every hair, it's on purpose. Know ye that the Lord is God. He is God. And he made us. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So your race, watch me, your hair color, your talent, was all created by him. And while there may be some illegitimate parents, there are no illegitimate children. Many children may be unplanned by their parents, but not unplanned by the God who is on purpose. God never does anything accidentally. Now, I want to show you something, and I want you to pay real, real close attention to this, because I am 100% convinced that God is in charge. May I announce to you there's somebody higher than what's going on in Washington, D.C.? It better be. Now, think about this for a minute. God is in charge. God is in control. Now, I remember when somebody asked me to try flying an airplane, and I hated it. Because when I get in the car, I do this. But when you're flying an airplane, you have to do this and this. And I did not know how to balance it, so it was starting to die. No, pull back! And I pull back. But now it's, you know, how do you do both? And I absolutely hated trying to fly an airplane. But may I announce to you, God has the controls, and God knows exactly what he's doing because he's thought about us more than the sand. Now, if he has thought about us more than the sand, don't you think he knows everything about you? One little boy named Jackie Boy was getting ready to shake the hands of President Calvin Coolidge. And the president... the little boy was about to come by and shake the president's hand while everybody was shaking his hand. He couldn't wait for his turn. And the little boy got to president and looked up and getting ready to shake his hand. And the president said, "Move along, sonny, move along." How many of you are glad the Creator never does that to you? He has you in mind. He didn't say, "Move along. I'm not interested in you." So God never does anything without thinking about us. So he's an on-purpose God. He's in control. And if that's the case, everything God does is on
purpose.
Purpose. Now everybody say that word. On what?
On purpose.
Now say, I'm on purpose.
I'm on purpose.
So what should that do? It should get you to bounce out of bed in the morning and say, "God, what do you have for me today?" Right?
Amen.
Yeah. A businessman came to Charlotte, North Carolina to one of my volleyball games. And about 5 months later, I had the thought of calling him up and saying, I have a secular version of that video that schools look at where it shows just the secular things. And I said, "Why don't you go to your superintendent of schools in what town? Charlotte. Show him my video." Ready for this? Guess where he's listening to my voicemail? In Phoenix, Arizona. How far away is Phoenix, Arizona from Charlotte?
A hell of a long way.
2,000 miles. 2,000 miles. And he's listening to my voicemail. "You ought to get a hold of the superintendent of Charlotte." He looks up from his phone and in walks the superintendent of Charlotte in Phoenix. In the airport. And get this. He not only walked into the airport, but he was scheduled to sit with him on the airplane. Can I ask you a question? Who can put that together?
Wow.
Only God.
Incredible.
Only God could put that together. You say, why did that happen? Because God wanted him, obviously, to tell that guy about how we need to reach the kids in Charlotte. Now, God is on purpose. God directed that superintendent to walk in right after he listened to this 2,000 miles from his hometown. You can't explain that. I'll tell you another one. And by the way, before I do that, the Bible says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." Listen to this. "I will guide thee with mine eye." Now, think about this. Have you ever been through something where you just about lose your breath? Maybe a physical illness, relationship breaks up, a plant closes down, children having problems, finances are in a mess. Maybe some of you have been through all of it. May I give you good news tonight? God is a God of providence. What's that mean? Pro, video. Pro means before. Video means to see. God sees before you get there. Now, I want you to see the implication of this. Follow me. When I came through that door this morning and decided to preach to you, God had this all planned trillions of years ago. And God said, "I am going to be there preaching before you come in that with that bright yellow outfit," and they all laugh at you. That was all planned before I got here. Now, I want you to think about this a minute, because this is quite an amazing thought. The hardest thing for me to do, I can stand in front of 15,000 people and be completely relaxed. But you take me in a hospital room, and somebody needs encouragement in a hospital bed, I'm shaking. Because I know that anything you say to somebody in a horrible situation is like pat answers to them. I'm praying for you. You know, how do you talk to somebody like that? But think about this a minute. When you say to somebody in a hospital room, God's going before you. God's going to encourage you. When you say, God be with you, what you're saying is, God was in this hospital bed by your bedside before you even had the sickness. Ooh. God was in that airport before he even listened to that voicemail. God goes before us.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many are glad we got a God who's a shepherd that knows how to lead our pathway?
Amen.
Now, hang on to this. Look at John 10:4. I want you to see this one. John 10:4. Now, we're called sheep if we're Christians. There's also goats that are lost people. But when he refers to sheep, he's referring to Christians. And I want you to notice in John 10:4 what he says about Christians. And when he putteth forth his own what, everybody?
Sheep.
He goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Pro video, God goes before us. He sees before we get there. One lady said, a missionary, look around, you'll be distressed. Look within, you'll be depressed. But look to the Lord, you'll be at rest. Do you know you can trust God? Now, because he goes before us, he is everywhere we go before we get there. Even when Paul was shipwrecked, God was with Paul before it happened. Now, if this is the case, then this is why I can tell you the next four stories. How many believe God's word is true again? Raise your hands.
Amen.
Let me tell you some amazing stories. This whole thing started out with a back problem. And I had to have help. Two men had to help me out of the car after a six-hour drive preaching as an evangelist for 6 years from 78 to 83. I got my back so bad at 29, you'd have thought I was a cripple. Crippled person completely. I mean, I was in a mess. And a chiropractor said, why don't you just work out and play volleyball? So I started working out and playing volleyball. And then God began to help my back problem from exercise. Uh-huh. Now, one trip, my wife had to drive while I was laying in the back seat. And when a lady is driving and you're laying in the back seat, that's faith. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. And not only that, it was a Ford. So anyway, she's driving, and every time she hit a bump in the road, I was in agony. I hit a bump, and she said, I said, honey, we've got to get a night's rest. Watch me. I'm going in the hotel just like this. And the lady at the desk saw me coming. She said, you have a back problem. I said, no, ma'am, I enjoy walking like this. She said, I've got a chiropractor who can help you. And I thought, what doctor's going to see me at 7 at night, and I don't have much money to pay for a doctor? She insisted. He took me in the room at 7 at night, and I'm lying on the table waiting for his adjustment. Now, how many of you have ever been to one? You know what it's like, you know, and all these things. Yeah. I'm lying on the table waiting for him to adjust me, and I'm looking up at the ceiling at a sticker he put up there for all his patients to read, Jesus Saves. Now I began to think, what's he going to do to me? It could have said, prepare to meet God, Holmes. I'm about to adjust you. And sure enough, he started snapping me around, got as friendly as you could believe. And he said, what do you do in your life's work? I said, I travel the country preaching the gospel. He said, you saved? I said, yes. He said, so am I. I went to pay the bill. He said, take it as an offering to your ministry.
Amen.
I got out of that car. I said, I'm out of the doctor's office. I said, honey, God took care of us. She went down the highway several more hours. I kept laying in the back seat.
after 7 hours more, I said, honey, let's find another one. Saw a sign on Main Street, chiropractor. He said, I can see you're in pain. I'll take you right in. Thank you. He took me in, put me on the table, and while he was adjusting me, he would talk to me to get me, my mind off of what he was doing to me. So he was as friendly as the other chiropractor. He said, well, what do you do for work? And I said, I travel the country doing assemblies and preaching the gospel. He said, you're a born-again Christian. I said, yes. He said, so am I. Wow. And he didn't charge me one penny.
Wow.
I got in the car. I said, honey, God took care of us again. We went down the highway about 4 or 5 more hours. I said, honey, let's find one more chiropractor. God led me to a third chiropractor that turned out to be a Christian that said, take it for your ministry.
Wow.
So I went from there to the Cadillac dealer and told him I was a Christian. No, I didn't. But what are you trying to say? God went into those chiropractic offices before I got there.
Yeah. Mm.
He's a God of providence. He's a God who sees before us. Now, Jesus goes there, and he takes care of us. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee, Psalm 56:3.
Mm.
I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord shall be my shade on the right hand. Right? The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul, and shall, listen, preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore.
Amen.
What does this mean? He's there before us. You say, you got another story? I got another 4 of them, just as good as the last 4. You say, well, we want to hear it. Well, bring me back sometime. I was praying for a video to be done of my assembly, a whole hour video, and I knew to hire 3 cameras, it would cost a fortune to have 3 cameras hired. And I was also praying for a way to pay for an amazing situation that happened. Both my cars had major serious problems in April. I went into my slow summer where I don't make money during the summer, and then in August, I found out my furnace had a crack down the side of it. You got to replace it $7,000 to $10,000 for a new furnace. And I was praying, God, please provide $10,000. How many believe God answers prayer?
Mm-hmm.
As I was praying for a video, I was praying for a way to pay $10,000 for the furnace, because we all know we need furnaces, especially with this last winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was also praying for a way to get the gospel of sin and judgment on television. Because Joel Osteen admitted on Larry King, I don't preach judgment. Well, if you say that you don't preach judgment, why don't you just say I'm closing half the Bible and leaving out most of the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm.
It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes judgment. How many believe if judgment is in the Bible, we're supposed to preach it?
Amen.
Yes.
Now, so I was praying for a way to get the gospel on TV. 3 prayer requests, right? 1 for what?
The furnace.
Furnace. 10 grand. 2, I was praying for a video. And 3, to preach the gospel on sin and judgment and forgiveness on TV so they could hear the whole story and not just love.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened? In August, I get a phone call from a total stranger. He said, are you anywhere near Carrollton, Texas? I said, let me look at my calendar, because I don't know where I'm at now most of the time. That's why it's so good to be in Florida today. So, 97, 93 degrees today. I thought I was in Florida.
Yeah, but, the outfit.
Yeah. And so, he said, are you anywhere near Carrollton, Texas? I said, let me look at my calendar. I looked at my calendar. Guess where I was going my first meeting?
Wow.
5 minutes from Carrollton, Texas. 5 minutes from there. I said, see you in a few weeks. He said, I'm going to try to get you in a school. He got me in a school. I walked in the gym. Guess what was in the gym?
3 cameras
ready to film the program. He said, we had a cancellation with a movie star. Do you mind if we film your event? I said, go for it. He filmed it. When it was over, he said, here's the footage. We love what you're doing. The producer now, Hollywood producer, came to the evening rally when I was preaching on sin, judgment, and how Christ took your judgment on the cross.
That's right.
He said, this was not a feel-good gospel. This was the truth. Do you mind if we air it on television? I said, go for it. I said, go for it. And then he handed me a check when it was all over for $10,000 and paid the furnace.
There's your furnace.
I know. And I asked him, are you an angel? And he didn't answer me. And I haven't seen him since. And when it was all over, he disappeared. But you say, what are the chances of three answers to prayer in one program? God was there before I got there.
Mm.
And if we can get a hold of this, we'll be so encouraged to know that when we're giving out the gospel, lo, I am with you always.
Mm.
And he says, I'm going to be with you. Do we really believe this? All day long, I knew I shouldn't have done it. I had like, I don't know how many games. One day I had 27 games in one day. And I was driving home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't just tired at the wheel. I fell completely asleep.
Oh,
how many of you have ever fallen completely asleep at the wheel? I woke up, and I'm on a side mountain road. And I'm thinking, I've gone 100 feet. Thank you, God, for protecting me for 100 feet. To my surprise, when I turned the car around, when I fell asleep, I must have done this and just kept going 2 miles. I went,
wow.
Oh, my God. I said, Lord, you drove this car for 2 hours for me. I mean, not 2 hours, for 2 miles. I said, dear God, thank you for being there before I got there.
Mm.
Wow.
And I got home my home church, and I told the story. And we have a driver's ed teacher at home, and he said to me, when you drive, God always has to drive. And I said, how true that is. But I am serving a God of providence, a God of pro-video. Now, I'm building up to something. You say, what are you building up to? You'll find out. But what I'm going to show you is so incredible. Now, go to this verse, because I want you to see it. There's a tremendous verse. Well, I'll just quote it to you. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Upholds all things means that he's holding everything up.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sinking, know he's holding everything up. And what it also means is he's able to carry you from one place to another.
Mm.
And he carried me 2 miles up that road. Now, think about this. Think about this. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, mm-hmm. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:4 says he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Are you ready for this? That means that God is not passive about his involvement with you. But is very active managing your day-to-day matters. The Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. He is actively involved in your life. Oh. Now let's go this far. Okay, ready? I'm going to say some statements that maybe you may have said, but God never says it. God, there are certain sentences God will never say. God never says, oh! God never says, what am I going to do now? God never says, oh, I didn't know that. And he never says, there's no way out of this. He says, no, I make a way in the wilderness. He never says, oh, what if we have a collapse in the economy? He never said, how am I going to feed that sparrow? How will that bill get paid? How can America survive any longer with all of our debt? God never says this. He has ongoing personal interest. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean? Cast it away means don't reel it in again.
if you're casting it out there, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Mm.
In other words, cast it out there and leave it in his hands. And the God said to Moses, I am that I am. This is really good. He said, I am that I am. What does that mean? The I am has sent me unto you. Here it comes. The I am sent me to this church today. Mm-hmm. The I am spoke through this man about Peabody, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Right after last week or a week and a half ago, I'm in a school and they're saying, we love this assembly. We want to get you in all the schools surrounding Peabody. And I'm saying to myself, I need to find a church. And he brings that up, not even knowing that story this morning. How many think God is a wonderful God? And a God of providence, right? God is our strength and refuge. Very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Be still and know that I'm God, and I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. So if I keep telling these stories, God keeps giving me more stories because I keep giving him glory for what he does. Mm. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I am a God at hand. I was praying for a motorhome when my girls were 4 and 6. And every time one would pass me on the highway, I'd be reminded to pray without ceasing. And I was praying for a motorhome. So every time a motorhome passed me, I'd ask the Lord again for a motorhome. Guess what happened? A total stranger gave me a call on the phone. He said, I heard you going into public schools. Do you have any videos of what you do? I said, sure do. He said, would you send me one? I sent him a video. He was from Portland, Oregon. Could you get any further from New England? He said, I love what you're doing. I watched your video. And he said, when I was watching it, I felt impressed of the Lord to want to give you a gift. I thought, well, how kind. I'm going to get a new pen with my name on it. He said his exact words, get a one-way plane ticket to Portland, Oregon, and I'll give you my new motorhome I just bought. Wow. I said, would you repeat that one more time? And he said, get a one-way plane ticket to Portland, Oregon. I'm going to give you my new rig that I just purchased. It has 5,000 miles on it, and I'd like to give it to you. I said, I feel led to come to Portland, Oregon. And I got off that airplane, and a young man with 5 kids is jumping up and down in the airport terminal, all excited to give me the new motorhome. I'm driving it across the country, and I'm saying the only explanation to this is God answers prayer. Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil and peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. For I know the thoughts that he has toward listen to the verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Mm-hmm. Now, you're going through life, know this, God has thought about you. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. What happened today reminds me of something. Pastor brings up what town again in Massachusetts?
Peabody.
I'm in California in a little town called Quincy. I'm doing an assembly program, and the guy who brought me there was the drug and alcohol coordinator. And he was the drug guy from Quincy. He said, you know, I know someone you ought to get a hold of. He said, I know the superintendent, I'm the drug person in Sacramento, California, which is the capital of California. I know the guy, and you ought to contact him. I'm leaving Quincy to go to the airport to go home. I have a cell phone, and in the cell phone is about 2,000 to 3,000 contacts. I'm thinking, boy, I wish I knew some pastor in Sacramento, because what if I get in all the schools and there's no rally for the kids to come back to hear the gospel, right? Mm. Just like I thought with Peabody. I just opened my phone up and I have a list of so many pastors I haven't even called yet. And I dialed a name at random.
and I called up this Pastor Nichols at random. He answers the phone, and I had tried to call him 7 other times, and he didn't pick up. He picked up this time. He said, "I've heard about you." I told him the story of what I do. This actually happened to me. I'm on the way from Quincy to the airport. And I'm thinking to myself, I need a pastor in Sacramento. So he's saying, he said, "Tell me your story, what you do." And I went through the whole thing. I must have spent at least an hour on the phone with him. He said, "I'd love to have you in my town." I said, "Where are you from?" And I didn't even know where he was from. He was from Sacramento, California. Now, we could go on and on and on with story. I'll read you this one. On the front porch of a little country store in Illinois, Abraham Lincoln and Barry, his partner, stood. Business was all gone, and Barry asked, "How much longer can we keep this going?" Lincoln said, "It looks as if our business has just about gone." And he continued, "You know, I wouldn't mind so much if I could just do what I want to do. I want to study law. I wouldn't mind so much if we could sell everything we've got and pay all of our bills and just have enough left over to buy one book called Blackstone's Commentary on English Law. But I guess I can't." Then all of a sudden, a strange-looking wagon was coming up the road. The driver angled it up close to the store porch. He then looked at Lincoln and said, "I'm trying to move my family out west, and I'm out of money. And I've got a good barrel here that I could sell for 50 cents. Abraham Lincoln's eyes went along the wagon and came to his wife looking at him pleadingly, face thin and emaciated. Lincoln ran his hands in his pocket and took out, according to him, the last 50 cents he had and said, "I reckon I could use a good barrel." All day long, the barrel sat on the porch of the store. Barry kept chiding Lincoln about it. Late in the evening, Lincoln walked out and looked down into the barrel. He saw something in the bottom of it, papers that he hadn't noticed before. His long arms went down into the barrel, and as he fumbled around, he hit something solid and pulled out a book and stood absolutely amazed. It was Blackstone's Commentary on English Law. Lincoln later wrote, "I stood there holding the book and looking up toward the heavens, and there came a deep impression on me that God had something for me to do, and he was showing me how I needed to get ready for it." Now, I haven't scratched the surface of this sermon tonight. It goes on more and more and more. But may I close with this? Let's see if you're still with me, church. God is in, say it.
Control.
God is a God of
providence.
He is a God who knows everything, and he's a God who goes before us. With all that in mind, shouldn't we have a purpose? If God is on purpose, shouldn't something in strike us inside that there's more to life than playing video games? Shouldn't something inside of us say there's something that we ought to do because of what God has done for us? And if God has thought about us this much and doesn't say, "Move along, sonny, move along," but he's paused and he's thought about us more than the sand, shouldn't we say it's not just pastor's job to build this church? I'm going to let God use me to build this church too. Now, you can say amen if you want, or I'm going to lengthen the sermon 5 minutes for each person that doesn't say amen. How many would agree we ought to all get involved?
Amen.
And we ought to say, by the grace of God, this church isn't going to have just 10% of the workers. We're all going to get behind this. Because God's got a blueprint. And especially eternity. If God has a purpose for us, and we're going to go on forever, then only what's done for Christ will last. All achievements will be surpassed. All records will be broken. All reputations will fade. All tributes are forgotten. So build an eternal legacy, not an earthly one. Given enough time, all the trophies will be trashed by somebody else. Abraham Lincoln said, "Surely an eternal God would not create man only for a day. No, man was made for immortality."
Life on Earth is just a dress rehearsal before the real production. Earth is a staging area, the preschool, the tryout for eternity. Life here is a practice workout before the actual game, the warm-up lap before the race. The Bible calls our earthly body a tent, but refers to our future body as a house. So if we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle we dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Glory to God.
If that's the case, then let's not park here like this world is our final home, but let's act like we're pilgrims just going through it. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, how frail I am. I'm a stranger in the earth. We are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days are upon the earth as a shadow. My days are like a shadow that declineth. I'm withered like grass. But, O Lord, thou shalt endure forever thy remembrance unto all generations. I'm glad we've recorded these miracle stories, because I want this country to find out God can still do things. And how many believe if he can do what some of those things I told about earlier, if he can do those things, how many believe we ought not hide that?
Amen.
That's one of the reasons why I believe that people are beginning to see me more as the volleyball guy. And I was saved at a Christian camp. And I want to preach at camps during the summertime because I was saved at one. But every time I call up a camp, I don't care who it is, keep up your volleyball, Bob. We have our speakers. So for 30 years, I've not been able to get into any camps to preach.
What?
30 years.
Wow.
Because am I glad I'm getting in front of 5 million people? Yes. But what I'm doing tonight, I like doing more than playing volleyball. And the devil is trying to keep me from preaching because they get this perception that he's got a gimmick and why should you give up your pulpit for some volleyball player? But how many believe this word needs to get out?
Amen.
Pray for your pastor. He's going to help me get known to other pastors.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you this. Life is short. Get a cause for eternity. One missionary was coming home on a boat from being 50 years in a foreign country. And he's coming back on a boat, and all of a sudden in the distance he saw a big band playing the instruments and a big carpet. Ready to, he thought, welcome him home from being a missionary gone 50 years. As he approached the shoreline, he heard somebody yelling out a famous name of a person that was on the boat. All of a sudden, he recognized that all that was not for him, it was for some famous person. He had a pity party for a while. But the Holy Spirit is a comforter, right? How many of you are glad you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit in you? He's a comforter. He can comfort you whatever you're going through. He can comfort you. And all of a sudden, as he was ready to have a pity party, the Holy Spirit put his arm around him and said, hey, I got news for you. You're not home yet.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. Amen.
So while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I gave up the idea of a movie because I didn't want the ACLU. Some guy was going to give me several million to have a movie made after my story. I said, I'm not interested because I don't want the ACLU to shut down my face-to-face with the kids. And then he said, well, we'll do a secular movie. Well, a secular movie, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
So if that's the case, then I'm not going to lie to the country and say you can stop committing suicide by your self-esteem. So I said no to the secular and no to the Christian. Now, years later, I believe God is going to open up a way now where a guy wants to feature what I've done, and it's already being determined that it's going to be a New York bestseller, and he's going to feature what I've done and the story all about it, so it could open up more doors to get in front of more kids. My desire is to reach this generation, and I'm asking God to open up a way that I can get the gospel to every teenager in this country before I die. How many believe God can answer that prayer?
Amen.
And now, there's a guy who is very close friends to the vice president of Orlando Magic. He's going to him with the idea of when I play a crowd, all of a sudden we could have like a real tearjerker of what's going on with teenagers. And I'm playing the crowd, and then all of a sudden I'm speaking on suicide. A principal, he said we had 5 suicides in the last 7 weeks. And then another principal said, here's a cemetery in front of my school. 20 gravestones of the kids that have died recently in my school. Then it goes back to the game, and now there's less kids on the volleyball court. Then it goes back to the message. And would you believe it? More kids died last year than the Iraqi war. Then it goes back to the game, and nobody's left on the court. And I start crying out, where are the kids? And the principal starts pointing to the cemetery and says, there they are. I got an email. I read this one this morning about the boy that was going to hang himself with his computer cord. On my birthday, instead of killing myself, I was going to make a statement, end my life on my birthday, but instead of killing myself, I asked Jesus to be my Savior on my birthday. Dear Bob, you don't know this, but there's many who don't believe in Christ. And he said, I want you to know that that this caused many to stop and look toward Jesus Christ. This said, this motivated me to look forward. I'll never think of suicide ever again. I knew you couldn't do it without God. Nothing is impossible with God. Thank you so much. This has been an inspiration to millions. I was planning my death a few nights ago, and prior to the meeting you today, I cut my wrist twice Tuesday night. However, I'm not the least bit ashamed to say that I will no longer continue to self-mutilate because of this message. I'm grateful that I didn't go through with my decision to end my life. All my life, I just wanted to meet someone who actually cared whether I live or die, that I wouldn't disappear suddenly. This has shown me hope in Christ, and staying alive is worth it. The visit in my school a month ago, I struggled with cutting and suicide. And this year, I really tried hard not to cut, even though I had contemplated suicide. And on, there's just email after email. I've got about 400 of them. I can send you in your email addresses if you give them to me. But what am I saying? I'm saying God is on purpose. Let us live on purpose. If God is on purpose, then God help me to lay aside this earth and say, this earth doesn't matter so much. Ask me to be on your Olympic team, there's something more important. Ask me to have a movie made, even though I need the money because schools are out of budget now, by the way. Both my daughters were in two major car accidents. The one died that was because the person was not, it was their fault and something happened. But both my daughters found out that their insurance had expired and I had to come up with $4,500 in April. And then my car started having over 1,000 something worth problems. And now I'm in my slow summer where schools don't pay like they used to with grant money. And I used to live on the equity line of credit during the slow time of summer. And now that's maxed out. And I'm at a point right now where I'm saying, God, you're in control. God, I was preaching to myself as much as I am to you. And with that $4,500 bill for my daughters and my property taxes being due in July, I'm crying out to God for a miracle. But how many believe God answers prayer?
Amen.
And what I'm saying in closing is we can trust him no matter what.
Amen.
Because he is in control. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are a God who's in control. And Lord, just as I've seen you other years do miraculous things, Lord, I'm facing something right now that is causing my own heart to say, Lord, please do another miracle. Lord, cause somebody somewhere to see that I'm not just some volleyball guy. But Lord, I pray that the churches would begin to open their hearts up and their minds to what this is about. And that I would be able to have churches wanting me more than the schools do. Lord, it seems like it should be the other way around. But because of the apathy of the church, the schools are crying out that are seeing the suicides while the churches are saying, we're not interested. Father, I beg you, I plead with you to open the door to get in the schools around this area and that you would open up as pastor begins to tell others about what I do, that they would see that it's not about volleyball, it's about souls. And I pray that miraculous doors would open up. And thank you for these dear folks that I've had a chance to be with today. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you can say, I know I'm saved tonight. The blood of Christ has saved me, and I put my faith and trust in his finished work on the cross. And because of that, I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hands real high? Now, let me ask you this. How many would say, the message has challenged me tonight to know God's got a plan for me? If he's thought about me more than the sand, then he's got a purpose for me because he's not a haphazard God. And I want to live my life with eternity in mind and get behind the mission of this church. Would you raise your hands real high? Praise the Lord. I want God to use me. Just bring it to him now and say, God, I want to serve. God, I want to have miracle stories to tell of what you do and what how you lead and how you direct. Lord, thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in a moment, Pastor will come and he'll close the service. And when it's over, I have something I want to do with all of you before you go. So Pastor will come right now and close out the service. Thank you, Pastor, very much.
Praise the Lord. Are you encouraged? Boy, if you're not encouraged, you're dead. You're not breathing. We got a new friend, amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And I'm so glad that he lives here in New Hampshire, and we can have him back. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn tonight. Just before we gather for food. We got some food in the kitchen. Hope you're hungry. And let's open up to hymn number 3. And let's all stand, folks, for our final closing hymn tonight. I love the words of this song. Wonderful words of life. We'll sing the first and the second. Praise the Lord. Sing them over again to me, oh, wonderful words of life. Let me more of the beauty see, oh, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Words so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Words of
freedom and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Praise the Lord. And folks, haven't we heard some beautiful, wonderful words tonight? That's Bible preaching. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's what the world needs. The message of this holy book. I'm so thankful for this dear brother and for meeting him and getting to know him a little better tonight. And I'm so glad that he's a preacher first. Volleyball player comes second. Amen? And he's a good one at that too. But folks, listen. We need to pray. Bottom line, we need to pray, because I'm fixing to go to roll up my sleeves, to do everything that we possibly can to get this man into the local schools.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, pray that he'll open doors. I love what he said tonight.
Yeah.
God is in control. He's sovereign, and he can open doors like nobody else.
Yeah.
And I believe he's going to do it in our area. Amen? That this fellow's going to be used all over this area. Praise the Lord for that tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us in prayer and pray about also when we'd like to have him back. Kyle.
Father, thank you so much for having the opportunity to have Brother Holmes in to show us the work that he's doing.
Mm.
This is a wonderful work that he's doing, the work that's sorely and terribly needed throughout this country, not just here.
Yes.
But Lord, it's to deal with the youth of our nation, our teenage minds that are our future leaders of this country that need to understand that where they're going is not something of their own doing. It's guided by your hand, Lord, and if they don't take the reins and they don't follow your lead, where we go will be a disaster.
Mm.
They have to understand that the only true way to find success in anything in this world or in this life is to believe solely and wholly on you, Lord, for you know the beginning and the end of all things. We ask you, Lord, to bless this man, to bless his work, to get him into the schools throughout this wonderful country of ours, and just help him spread this word and make your presence known, Lord, through him. Bless his work, help him through it, and guide him along his way. And we pray, Lord, that you bring him back to visit with us, not just once or twice, but many times in the future. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.